Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As the effects of climate change, diminishing habitats, and increased urbanization put stresses on our natural life, like animals, insects, and plants, even small steps individuals can take to help can make a difference. And it begins at our front and backyard. The Oklahoma Conservation Commission's Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project was started to offer a way to recognize homeowners with nature-friendly practices in their yards and encourage other homeowners to take a few small steps to make their yards better for animals, birds, and insects like butterflies. The project piloted in Oklahoma County last year and now is being offered in Tulsa County. And when I say small steps to be certified, it really is. Having a vegetable or herb garden are markers. Not using pesticides, utilizing mulch or composting, having an efficient irrigation system or use of rain barrels, mulching your lawn clippings or increasing your mowing height to 3 inches, using native plant species in your yard, or having plants for native wildlife like milkweed for monarchs. I'm joined by Cheryl Cheadle, the volunteer coordinator with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission's Blue Thumb program, and she's also now working on the Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project. She's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Cheryl Cheadle, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
I am happy to be here, Rich.
The Oklahoma Conservation Commission's Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project started last year in Oklahoma County and I guess a couple other communities as well. It's now come to Tulsa County. Tell us about the Yard by Yard program. What is it exactly?
Well, Yard by Yard, Oklahoma Conservation Commission is indeed one of the sponsors, but so is the Oklahoma Association of Conservation District and Friends of Blue Thumb, and I want to be sure that those two nonprofits are in there too. What the project is, as you described it, is called Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project, and what we do is we are recognizing nature-friendly practices in the yards of folks who live in some communities. And I'm here today to particularly talk to you about Tulsa County. If you live in a community either in Tulsa or Glenpool or Jinks or Owosso and you're in Tulsa County and you're within your city limits, you could qualify for having a nature-friendly yard with the Yard by Yard program.
What does that entail?
Okay, well, there are a lot of different practices that makes a yard nature-friendly. If you are pesticide-free, I'm just going to list a few of the ones that are kind of popular because we do have some yards that are a part of Yard by Yard already. But the things that people seem to like to do, you have to be pesticide-free. And if you're growing some vegetables, that's one of the things that helps you qualify. If you have some native plants, and native plants have huge value to our pollinators. But native plants, if you have a little water feature, if you are willing to not mow quite so short, maybe you have a compost pile. These are a few of the things that people are doing that we are able to recognize. And the idea is that if they're doing these things, they are creating a little bit of in-city habitat for creatures. They are feeding the pollinators. And they are doing some things that increase the health of their soil. And the soil and the water are critically related. So if you're taking care of your little piece of the earth, then you are not only creating a little bit of habitat, but you're contributing to clean water and reduced flooding and more tolerance to drought.
So the typical urban home in Tulsa, which is usually a single family dwelling, has a yard. It may have a very well manicured yard. I guess a lot of times they're using fertilizers on that. Pesticides, perhaps, if they have gardens. So what are the first steps in maybe becoming a little more green in that particular culture?
You are correct. A lot of the lawns that we drive by in a lot of our neighborhoods are basically short turf grass with some trees here and there, maybe a shrub here and there, maybe some flowers. Often they are what we consider to be ornamental, introduced species. The turf grasses that we drive by are typically going to be Bermuda grass. And that is not a local, as the name implies, that is not a local grass. And I guess the thing that I would say is that if you are keeping a very short, well-manicured lawn, applying chemicals, then you really are not contributing to a healthy local neighborhood. And indeed, what really amazed me was when I learned that a really short little lawn actually has a lot of runoff. So, and the runoff being after a rain comes, instead of soaking in, that water is going to go down the street and into a storm drain. And so if you're using fertilizers or pesticides, and those things aren't necessarily bad, I want to be sure I say that there can be a time and a place for lawn chemicals, but those things are likely to run off the lawn and down into the storm drain, into our local streams and rivers, and therefore into a local lake somewhere downstream. So what I would say to folks who are having that typical lawn is, let's talk just a little bit about a few of the things that might bring more birds to your lawn, more butterflies, and that would be a plus for you, because most people enjoy having creatures like birds and butterflies and dragonflies that will come visit their yard. Most people like that.
All right, let's just start with lawns, because lawns are obviously, for a lot of homeowners, it's a point of pride. What are some of the first steps you can take to make it a little more green?
The very first step I would recommend would be to set your mower blade up, because if you I mow at 4 inches on my yard.
4 inches. Wow, that's pretty.
That's pretty tall.
That's over your shoes.
Well,
it's about the top of your shoes.
It's about at my ankle. It's a little above my ankle, but you know, it looks nice when it's finished. And right now it's a little bit high, but whose isn't with all of this extreme rain, which is very good for it. But I mow a little bit higher, and I don't use any pesticides. I don't use any kind of a pre-emergent. I don't use any kind of, you know, any of the chemicals like that. So my yard is very diverse. I have Bermuda grass. I have a little bit of fescue. I have a lot of clover and a couple of different kinds of clover, the white clover, the yellow clover. I welcome dandelions. I know a lot of people don't like those, but if you think about it, they are one of the earliest blooming flowers that bees and butterflies will visit. And so that they are welcome in my yard. And having a variety and mowing less short is a very, very good first step. A really good second step is to consider planting a few native plants, because those native plants can be extremely beautiful. They can be very welcoming. It's all about how you choose to put them in your yard. Like my native plants in my front yard, I have a little brick border between them and the rest of the lawn, and I mow up to my border so that my garden looks like it's in a garden area. And that intentional effort then creates more of a look to my yard like I am taking care of it, because I think that most of the neighbors, they don't want to just think that my yard has been left to go crazy. So I do some intentional things like that, and that keeps my yard looking like somebody cares here and they are out working on it, even though it's not a traditional average neighborhood yard.
So when you're talking about the yard by yard, you're not talking about letting the land go wild. You know, there's certain landscaping that makes it look like it's a wild landscape. That means very tall plants in the yard. It doesn't necessarily have to be that, right?
You know, Rich, it's interesting that you say it like that, because with yard by yard, one of the things that the people who come aboard get, they get two packets of wildflower seed. One is for them to use in their own property. The other, we encourage them to give away to a friend or neighbor, so that more people can learn about the value of using native plants in their yard. And so this mix, which was prepared for us by a seed company, Johnston in Enid, we said to them, this is what we're looking to do. And so they created for us a special mix of native wildflowers, native to Oklahoma, that will not get quite as tall as some of them, because the mix I used a few years ago had some really tall wildflowers. And although I like them, I thought, you know, this, it might be more manageable to me to have wildflowers that don't get quite so tall. So we do understand. And no, the yard by yard idea isn't necessarily to let your yard be a full prairie or a full forest, but to have some combination of what keeps you comfortable with the yard and what makes your yard more of a habitat and even a refuge for the little creatures that depend on us.
Yeah. Are there grasses, since lawns are a big part of a lot of the manicuring that goes on in a homeowner's yard. Are there grasses that are better than, say, your typical Bermuda, fescue, zoysia, those sorts of grasses that are considered very desirable?
Those types of lawn grasses are now the norm, mm-hmm. and there is a grass called buffalo grass, and that is an Oklahoma native grass, and it doesn't get really tall. You know, we have our big blue stem and our Indian grasses that can get 4 to 6 feet tall and taller. Those aren't going to necessarily be a turf grass, but the buffalo grass might be, but it is very difficult. At this point in our country's age, we have used so many turf grasses, and they're very invasive. They like it here, they are strong, and it's hard to have a lawn of buffalo grass that's not kind of having the Bermuda creeping in. So my thing is, perhaps rather than trying to totally replace your turf grasses, consider not putting out the pre-emergence and consider letting some other green plants be a part of that lawn. That is what I think. And I think that looks good. I like the look of variety in my lawn. I like it when birds are out there finding something to eat in my lawn.
My guest today is Cheryl Cheadle. She's a volunteer coordinator with the Oklahoma Conservation Commission's with the Blue Thumb Program. She's also working on the Oklahoma Conservation Commission's Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project, which is coming to Tulsa County and beginning to certify homeowners who have pesticide-free yards. You have efficient use of water. You're growing vegetables, native plants, and composting. And what are some of the aspects of the program that make up the certification?
The thing I will say is the actual local program sponsor is the Tulsa County Conservation District. Mm-hmm. And your local conservation district has been here for over 60 years now, and they are very excited to be that local sponsor of Yard by Yard. And basically, the conservation district, Gabrielle Parker, she receives a checklist from the folks, and I can tell you how to go online for this. It's at okconservation.org/yardbyyard. So when you go online, you can watch an introductory video by Kevin Mink, and he is the urban soil specialist from the Oklahoma County Conservation District, and he's the guy who got Yard by Yard started in the first place in Oklahoma County. But we said, hey, that's too good an idea not to bring it over to Tulsa County. So I'm kind of a point person to help the local conservation district getting this going and inspecting the yards. So I really enjoy doing that with them. So to get it started, if you will go to that site, you can watch that introductory video, which will explain a lot. And then there is a checklist that you can fill out online. And with that checklist, with every different thing you can look at that you can do in your yard, and maybe you're not doing all of them, and you don't have to. But there are links provided to give you additional information on what this means to be doing this activity. And it's not likely that you will be doing everything that is required. Or it's not that required, but we have a lot of suggestions. You can do this or that or this or that. Some things you're not going to want to do, but other things you will. So you have choices, a lot of different choices, so that you can have your yard to be certified with us.
Well, as I'm looking at the checklist, the main thing is you have to maintain a pesticide-free yard.
Right.
That's sort of a requirement, right?
That is a requirement, Rich, and I can say just a little bit about that. Different pesticides, and whether we're talking herbicides or insect killers, what we're trying to do is we are trying to create yards that will be basically insect-friendly, because insects are such a huge part of food webs. And we are trying to encourage plants that insects will use. And we're trying to encourage an attitude that if you see a leaf on one of your plants that has had a bite taken out of it by an insect, that's really not something to get uptight about, because that's where you know your yard has done its work. Your yard is functioning ecologically. It is a home to creatures, because if you have some insects in your yard, then you're going to be making a haven for the birds. And I just don't know anyone who doesn't enjoy having birds stop by their yard. But you can take a look at the Audubon Society's website. Birds are decreasing. Bird numbers in this country are decreasing. And if we could get folks who live in cities to say, hey, we can do something about this because we can, then we can create lawns that offer more habitat and more protection and that build corridors from place to place, because a lot of times it's fragmented habitat that is as much a problem as loss of habitat.
So on the certification, you have four different areas. You have soils, water, food, and habitat. And it's really just a matter of checking off a few items in three of the four categories. Is that correct?
That is exactly right. I just reviewed that this morning myself. And I like looking at it because I like to think about, well, my yard does this, 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 and this. And I want to point out, Rich, the big thing about this program is, yes, we want to acknowledge the people who are doing good work. We want to provide you with a sign. We have an attractive sign, and we ask you to have it out 50% of the time. You may not want it out all the time. But the whole point of that is to help other people see and learn. And we're looking to help do a little bit of changing of a mindset that very short green lawns that have alien species, they don't do a lot for our local wildlife. They don't allow waters to soak in, and they often contribute to runoff that's not the best for our streams. So that's what we're looking to do. And if in yard by yard we can recognize you, then that means somebody going by your yard might just see your sign and think, wonder what that's about, and I wonder how I might get involved. So we really count on the folks that come aboard yard by yard to help us spread the word.
Now, as I was looking through the checklist, I could see a number of people doing at least a few of these things without even thinking about it, like the use of organic mulch. That means wood chips or leaves to build organic material in your soil, or mulch mowing your lawn instead of bagging.
Exactly.
The use of heat-tolerant, drought-tolerant plants, xeriscaping, or using rain barrels.
That's a great one, too, using a rain barrel. That way you're saving on your water bill. And I guess the thing that we want to be sure we point out at this moment in the interview is if you will adopt some of these practices, get acquainted with a lawn that is friendly or habitat-wise, you are going to end up saving time and money. You know, you might have to put some effort into getting some things established, but here's the deal. I find that I love going out in my yard and messing around here and there. So it's almost not like yard work. It's almost like gardening, but gardening for other creatures. Because, you know, I've been a conservationist pretty much my adult life, and this is joyful to a lot of people. And the folks that we have gone to visit who've come aboard yard by yard already in Tulsa County, they love their yards. They tell myself and Gabrielle with the Conservation District, they're always saying, and the other day we saw this, the other day we saw this. And that's meaningful to them. And I've even saw people, when I was out certifying, I see people stop by the yard-by-yard yards looking for creatures. And I just hope, I want everybody to know that you can be a part of doing this. And the fact that a healthy yard with some native plants is also going to help reduce flooding, and it's going to clean stormwater. That's of great interest to our municipalities because that's what we all need. We need clean water, we need healthy soil, and we need to try to reduce all the water that happens during a big flood.
Well, it's really interesting some of the things you have marked off. If you have beekeeping, that's a big plus. And you're starting to see people, even in the city, adopt things like having grazing animals like chickens or things like that in the urban environment. How do you manage that with your neighbors, and what are some of the tricks to making your backyard and your home a more natural place for things like bees, for grazing animals and the like, that still doesn't put off your neighbors?
That's an excellent question. The one yard-by-yard person that is keeping bees that we have so far, she has 2 acres in town.
Yeah.
It's an amazing area, and so she has 2 acres, and I think that she is willing to talk to her neighbors. Her neighbors know that she keeps bees. She's well-established in her neighborhood, and she was sort of there when some of the other folks came along. So she's kind of grandfathered in a way. And the other people who keep chickens, they've just simply said, no, nobody ever says anything. But I've also learned that they share their eggs. So see, we're being neighborly. And yard by yard is a neighborly thing. It's certainly not about trying to irritate anyone. It's about just bringing along a little bit different thinking about what a yard is all about. And you know, Rich, something that I have found extremely interesting during the COVID time is I've Googled wake up call because I've seen some articles, but there's a lot of people who view this time of COVID as a wake up call, and they are considering that in some cases to be their time. I'm going to spend more time outdoors. I'm going to enjoy my yard and try to calm down and meditate and think about things other than the rat race. And so yard by yard is excellent for that, because if you're looking for a wake up call and you want to start out post-COVID, and I shouldn't say post-COVID because we're still dealing with it, but this is a way to do something good for the community and something good for our neighbors, and that includes our neighbors that are the little critters too.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we have been at home the whole time, you know, the home can feel like a prison, and the backyard and the front yard and the yard becomes the refuge.
It really is, and if you consider how many acres in this country are devoted to urban landscapes and to highway thoroughfares, mm-hmm. and parking lots and such, if we can come together to consider a better way to do things, then let's do that. And by having healthier soil, cleaner water, I mean, if we put cleaner water in our streams and rivers, that just means that lake downstream is going to offer cleaner water that needs less treatment to the folks who drink it, because about 80% of Oklahomans drink surface water, means our water is coming from a lake. Some folks drink groundwater, depending on where you are, especially a little bit more out west in some smaller towns. But what we're really doing is, this is a deep thinking thing. At a glance, somebody might think, well, yeah, I don't want my yard to look like that. Well, what can you do, though? The idea is, you don't have, it's not all or nothing. What can you do? And we'll help you. We go out to people's houses and say, hey, yeah, your yard would qualify. Or if you were to think about doing this or that, that's all you would need to qualify. And the idea is, honestly, less that they get a sign and we pat them on the back, and more that the conservation practices for the urban areas get put in place. And then it becomes a culture.
Mm. Earlier we said there's this checklist, and you can go down, and I'm looking at just at my yard. I probably found four or five areas where we qualify already without, you know, just the way we've always maintained our yard. So what is the next step if we wanted to be a part of this? Does somebody from the Conservation Commission come and look at your property? And
honestly, if you will use that checklist, mm-hmm. and if you're savvy enough to go online and do it, and fill it out, mm-hmm. send us a couple of photos, and click submit, then that information is going to end up at the Tulsa County Conservation District. And Gabrielle is going to get in touch with me and say, hey, you want to go look at this yard with me? And I'm going to say, you bet. And we are going to get out there and check it out. And if we find everything to be in good working order, there's a few things we're going to give you, such as the handsome yard sign, such as a couple of packet of wildflower seeds, a little bit of information on what we hope you will do, which is mainly that you keep your sign up half the time, that you share a packet of information a packet of wildflower seed with a neighbor. And we're also going to give you a couple of little postcards, one for you to send to maybe your city council member, maybe your state representative, if you want to. And you can write your own note in there. There's a little bit of information in there already. And there's also some that are good just to give to people that you think might be interested. So we're trying to get the word out through the local folks who are involved. And we could get you involved and get your sign on your yard in just a few days.
Mm. So when you come out and inspect the homeowner's property, do you give them more hints?
Yes, we do.
You know, if you're taking a few steps, how can you make it more conservation friendly?
All right. Number one, you could say, hey, come look at my yard. I'm thinking about doing this. And one of us will be out there to talk to you about it. And what was one of the more fun times for me was a yard that we went and looked at that had already submitted their information. And both the husband and a wife talking to me about it. And she says, come here, I want to show you something. And so in each corner of her yard, she had created a little stick pile because one of the practices was brush pile. Now, that's not going to look good just everywhere, but out in the corners of her backyard, she had just piled up a few sticks. She says, I didn't even know this would be a good idea until I read your yard-by-yard information. And then she created those little stick piles. But if you go online and look at the checklist, you can click for more information, or you can just talk to us, and we will give you more information. And another thing that you can do is when you're walking around your neighborhood, if you see a yard that looks like it might be a little bit more habitat-friendly or has bird feeders up and has bird watering baths, look at that and see if that is going to be something that you think you could do in your yard. And yes, we can help you with that, and we're pretty citizen-friendly about doing that because we want more yard-by-yard folks.
And so the best way to learn more about this program?
The best way to learn more is to go and watch that video that's introductory, okconservation.org/yardbyyard. Take a look at that. I would also, you know, you can check with places like Oxley Nature Center. You know, you can check with the Tulsa County Conservation District, and that is tulsaccd.org. You can talk to them about nature-friendly activities. OSU Master Gardeners. There's many folks out there who will want to help you to think of ways to make your yard the haven that you will enjoy and will also be able to contribute back to your community.
Now, as I understand it, you have an event coming up near the end of the month, right?
It is not a yard-by-yard event, but then again, it is.
Okay.
It is our Oklahoma Conservation Commission Soil Health Coordinator, Amy Seeger, and I are going to be at the Tulsa Garden Center, and we are offering a workshop called Soil, Water, and Ways to Make a Difference. And we're going to be talking about some of the habitat-friendly, soil health-building ways that you can treat your lawn. And we're excited because we already got some people enrolled. And for anyone who is interested, that is tulsagardencenter.org/adult-programs. And it is not free, and it's a half-a-day workshop, but everybody will take home a miniature prairie like might have been found in the Tulsa area 100 years ago.
All right. Well, Cheryl, we wish you great success with the Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project, a project to build diversity within the urban community, helping provide food for critters, habitat, and improve our soil and water. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you, Rich. Thank you very much.
Cheryl Cheadle is the volunteer coordinator for the Blue Thumb Water Conservation Program from the Oklahoma Conservation Districts. The Yard by Yard Community Resiliency Project is now in Tulsa County. If you'd like more information or you'd like to see a checklist, visit okconservation.org/yardbyyard. And also, she'll be giving a program on soil, water, and ways to make a difference, Saturday, June 26th at the Tulsa Garden Center. You can visit tulsagardencenter.org for more information on that program, which includes many of the elements of Yard by Yard. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.